You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The newest issue of the magazine Vanity Fair hits newsstands today with one of the most talked about covers and cover stories in a long time. It features Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as Bruce Jenner, as she shares her story of physical transformation from male to female.
Jenner said she's sharing the details of her personal journey in order to help readers of all demographics better understand what it means to be transgender. Her story has triggered conversations about transgender identity around the nation.
Joining us now is Harper Jean Tobin, Director of Policy at the National Center for Transgender Equality. Harper Jean, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So months after a revealing interview with ABC's Diane Sawyer, Caitlyn Jenner's story is out there now for the public, sparking a lot of conversation. How significant is this moment for the transgender community?
I would say it certainly is significant. Anytime you see somebody, get any event have this degree of media visibility, it's significant. But I think it's significant in part because it's part of a larger trend. In fact, Caitlyn Jenner's coming out wouldn't have been such a big splash in the media had it not been for a broader, not just media or political, but social and cultural trend over the last several years, and especially the last year or two, of greater visibility and understanding of transgender people, so that when somebody like Caitlyn Jenner, who has been a celebrity for much of her life and was already in the news and subject to the kind of sort of wall-to-wall, attention to her personal life that a lot of celebrities have, that when she was going through this big change in life that is still, I think, unfamiliar to a lot of people, that it was bound to create just tremendous media interest. And I think that the discussions that had sparked, together with many other things that are happening in local communities and nationally in terms of schools and workplaces and public policy, and that it's a very positive development. Of course, no one person's experience is really representative of a very diverse community that encounters a lot of challenges, particularly for those who aren't, already rich and famous like her. But it's certainly positive to have this part of the American community just being discussed and our lives talked about more openly.
So you're saying that Caitlyn Jenner didn't really cause this wave. She's part of a bigger movement. What other instances can you point to and say, here we see the awareness starting to crest?
Sure. Well, we can, of course, point to other people who have been, part of in popular culture in the media in recent years, people like Laverne Cox, Janet Mock, and Chaz Bono. But, it's also important to look at the fact that just around the country, school districts, employers, all colleges and universities have, I think, increasingly had to address the fact that transgender people are part of their student bodies. They're part of their workforce, often in encountering a lot of hostility, misunderstanding, and barriers that I think communities and schools and employers are trying to address. And we've seen that in discussions and policy changes that school districts have been making, and in changes at the national level. I work primarily on public policy with the federal government, and we've seen different federal agencies, from the Department of Agency to OSHA, issuing greater guidance over the last several years, and particularly this year, to address these questions and try to both increase understanding and eliminate some of the barriers to well-being and success and health and safety that many transgender people do face.
So in a watershed moment like this, what could be that transgender tipping point for society, what do you think is important to come out of it? What sorts of awareness and understanding do you want to occur?
Well, I think what's important is to decrease the social stigma that transgender people historically and still do face. now there was recently a Gallup poll commissioned by our colleagues at the Human Rights Campaign that found that only 22% of likely voters said that they personally knew or worked with somebody who was transgender. Now, that number is up 5% from just a year ago, but it's much lower than the number of people who report, for example, that they personally know or work with someone who is gay or lesbian or bisexual. So, and we know that whether or not you personally know someone who is trans, as opposed to whether you sort of only know what you've seen in the media, which until recently has been fairly negative, makes a huge, huge difference in people's degree of understanding and positive or negative feelings or comfort or discomfort with transgender people and with the idea of social equality for transgender people. And unfortunately, trans people do still face higher rates of poverty, unemployment, homelessness, and poor health outcomes because of the high rates of job, housing, and other kinds of discrimination. Unfortunately, more than one in four transgender people in a national survey we conducted a few years ago reported being the victim of a violent hate crime on at least one occasion previously. So it's not sort of just about kind of public understanding in general. It's partly to help ensure that people don't have to live in fear and can really be a successful and full part of their communities and successful in their lives and families.
And it sounds as though it may be difficult to even get a number on how many transgender people there are in America. Is this also then a chance for the transgender community to connect with each other?
Well, the size of the transgender population is difficult to estimate, and there's a simple reason for that. The major national surveys that we rely on for a great deal of demographic and economic and health data still don't count transgender people, don't ask questions that would allow you to say, okay, this is how many transgender people they are, and these are the kind of how they compare to different other parts of the population. But we do have some idea from state surveys and from other surveys. The Williams Institute at UCLA estimates that about 700,000 adults in the U.S. are transgender. That's somewhere between, if you were to take, you know, look at the whole population of D.C., it's a little bigger than that. It's not quite as big as the population of Alaska. So small but significant part of the population. And that is only counting people who are over 18 and would self-identify as trans in a telephone survey. So it doesn't include teens or children, of which there must be many thousands more, and it doesn't include people who maybe aren't yet in the point of exploring and understanding their own identity where they would self-identify in a survey. But we are talking about, you know, quite a few of us in every part of the country, every state, rural, urban, suburban. And a lot of folks have felt, you know, very isolated, experienced a lot of social rejection, family rejection. And it's, I think, really important, particularly for transgender young people, to see this greater understanding in society and feel like it is hopefully for more and more people safe to talk to their families about who they are, their teachers about who they are, and to not feel like they have to hide, which can be very damaging to young people.
We're talking right now with Harper Jean Tobin of the National Center for Transgender Equality, asking whether we're having a transgender moment in the world right now in the wake of Bruce Jenner transitioning to Caitlyn Jenner. And we have that Vanity Fair cover coming out this week. And this has sparked some broader conversation, hasn't it? The New York Times editorial board has published an editorial last week calling for transgender people to be able to serve openly in the military. Are there thoughts and cohesion around that issue yet?
Well, yes, certainly. That's an issue that I think seems to be moving very fast. And it's important to understand in the context of the opportunity to work and make a living and pursue a career generally. In the National Transgender Discrimination Survey that we conducted a few years ago, we surveyed about 6,500 trans people in every state in the country. And a huge majority said that they had encountered hostility in the workplace, harassment, slurs, being straight up denied jobs or promotions, being told they couldn't use the restroom on the job, had to go somewhere else. And more than one in four said that they had lost at least one job because they'd essentially been fired for being transgender. Now, the courts and the attorney general and the federal government have been increasingly saying that that kind of discrimination is illegal. It's discrimination on the basis of sex, and on the in fact, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed the third lawsuit in a series that it's filed just last Friday against a financial services firm for discrimination against a transgender worker. But despite those developments, I think most workers and most employees don't understand that that those protections exist. They're not fully affirmed up in the law because they've been developed through case law and interpretation. And only 19 states, plus a huge number of well over 200 cities and counties, have laws that very clearly and unambiguously say you can't fire somebody just for being transgender. So that means in half of the country, people are living without those specific protections, and being able to have equal opportunity on the job is a very live and very concerning issue.
I'm talking right now with Harper Jean Tobin of the National Center for Transgender Equality. With Caitlyn Jenner's Vanity Fair story hitting newsstands today, we're asking, is this a turning point for the transgender community in America? And you can join in with your thoughts and your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you read Caitlyn Jenner's story of transition? And if so, do you feel like you have a better understanding of what it means to be transgender? And what questions do you still have? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking about Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as Bruce, as she continues to publicly share her story of transitioning from male to female. And we're wondering, is this a turning point for the acceptance of transgender people in America?
Our guest is Harper Jean Tobin with the National Center for Transgender Equality. You can join in, too, with your comments and questions, maybe your experiences. If you yourself are transgender, maybe someone close to you, someone in your family. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Harper Jean, we were talking about a New York Times editorial pushing for the acceptance of transgender people to serve in the military. What steps forward would you like to see to see that move forward at a quicker pace?
Well, it's important for there to be stronger protections for all transgender people in all types of careers. The military strangely does still have regulations that say that transgender people aren't allowed to serve in the military. Nevertheless, it's estimated that over 15,000 transgender people do, and I think increasingly commanders recognize that, you know, they don't want to follow these rules that require them to get rid of good people. In fact, the Army and the Air Force have essentially put in place what seems to be a moratorium on these discharges where they have to be approved by, you know, at the highest level. It seems to be a move in the direction of doing what the American Medical Association just this week called on the Pentagon to do, which is eliminate these rules and focus on, you know, having the most qualified folks be able to serve, which in any line of work really should be the focus.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Sarah joining us in Madison. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, what's your comment?
I just wanted to say that I think with the Bruce Jenner story, or Caitlyn Jenner, people are focusing too much on her looks and saying that what she accomplished before as Bruce doesn't count as what she has accomplished as Caitlyn as well. And for transgender people, obviously, all they're doing is getting the body that they feel that they fit in. There's no emotional or mental change where they change into a woman and suddenly they act stereotypically like a woman, or they transition into a male body and act stereotypically like a male. Like, a human is a human, and you can't put genders on how they act. So the body that they're in shouldn't matter, and people shouldn't ask, and people shouldn't focus on the changes. Like, you get a haircut and people don't care, so why you get a haircut and start acting like a woman, I don't understand why people care at all.
All right, Sarah, thanks a lot for that call. And let's talk a little bit about that, Harper Jean. Do you think that the transgender movement is overemphasizing gender differences, and maybe some of the human universals are getting lost?
Well, you know, the Caitlyn Jenner story is, I think, in many ways, first and foremost, a celebrity story. It's a celebrity story about a longtime famous athlete and a reality television star. So I think you'd pretty much expect a lot of people to focus on her looks and her appearance and her wardrobe and her hair and all of these things that are part of celebrity culture in America. I don't think we'd expect a transgender celebrity to be any exception to that. But, you know, for regular transgender people, certainly, just like anybody else, you know, that isn't necessarily the most important thing about a person. You know, transgender people want to be who they are inside, and that's a deep sense of gender identity that most people are aware of from very early on in life. Which is very different from, you know, the kind of stereotypes that we associate about sort of how men and women should look or act. I think this conversation that the country is having right now is part of a longer conversation that we've been having for a long time about there being more freedom for everyone in society to not be constrained by assumptions about gender, whether that's women being able to have broader career opportunities, whether that's all people being able to shed stereotypes about how they should look or dress or act, or whether it's about transgender people being able to sort of to say and express who they are, whatever gender that is. So again, in the context of celebrity culture, we would expect that a glamorous celebrity transgender woman is going to fit into those tropes and those things that we associate with being a glamorous, celebrity in America. You know, that's no more representative of transgender people than any other, famous actress or performer or celebrity is representative of women in general.
Right.
But, you know, it's one prism, one story through which we're having this conversation about gender and the freedom to be yourself.
Right, and if we look at that Vanity Fair cover, you have a very glamorous picture. It was taken by Annie Leibovitz, and you have someone who comes from a privileged background who's now, for the moment, a spokesperson for the transgender movement. Are there any concerns that you have about the face of the transgender movement and concerns about expressing the diversity and the pluralism that are contained there when you have a white celebrity at its front?
Well, I don't suppose that Caitlyn Jenner, I don't know that she's particularly interested in being the spokesperson for all 700,000 of us any more than necessarily, someone like Ellen DeGeneres is bound to be the spokesperson for, gay and lesbian and bisexual people in the country. But certainly right now, she's the most famous and recognized probably transgender person anywhere in the country, and that certainly puts a particular tilt on a lot of the conversations that we're having right now. But like any other community, we are, folks of all different kinds of backgrounds and incomes and races and genders and ages, and in particular are a population that has experienced disproportionate amounts of discrimination and economic barriers. Of course, you don't see that in Caitlyn Jenner's story, but what you do see is a struggle over the social stigma of coming out as transgender and a struggle to express who you are that even very privileged, otherwise privileged people may experience. That, you know, she lived a long time in her life without being able to come out, and that's true of so many people of her generation of all backgrounds. And I think that what that conveys is that that is a common experience.
And we have to leave it there. Harper Jean, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Harper Jean Tabin, Director of Policy at the National Center for Transgender Equality. She joined us to talk about Caitlyn Jenner, who is politically sharing her story of transitioning from male to female.